Welcome to Expert Insights Radio, where actions speak louder than words, and visionaries join those on the rise to create instant impact. Good afternoon. My name is Rhonda Branch, and I'm your guest host today, sitting in for Vicki Winnerton. Today, I am so excited to introduce you and welcome Pip McKay. Welcome, Pip.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you. Let me tell you all about Pip McKay. She is an amazing woman. She is highly respected thought leader and a pioneer within the field of personal transformation coaching and NLP. She has dedicated over 20 years of her life to creating techniques which allow you to discover your unique passion and purpose, remove negative influences, and enable you to fulfill your true potential. Pip's proven techniques have been taught throughout Australia and internationally, including most recently Israel. Pip has also been influential within the corporate arena as well as training teams and executives in many organizations. Pip is also an international bestseller. Her book is called Principles of Achievement, Love, and Happiness, How to Get What You Want and Enjoy the Process. I love that title, Pip. Can you tell us, how did you come to your passion and purpose in life?
Well, it was a bit of a journey for me. Originally, I really wanted to be an actor. And I thought that acting would be, you know, fun and magical and creative. And when I did acting training, it was exactly like that. And then when I actually was on the stage, I sort of found that in actual fact, I was saying other people's words, so it wasn't particularly creative. And it was magical for the audience, but it wasn't particularly magical for me, having to hit that particular light, that spotlight, and do exactly what the director was telling me to do. And I've got quite a rebellious nature, and so that wasn't very easy for me, and I decided that I didn't actually like acting at all. And so after that, I felt a bit lost because I'd wanted to be an actor since I was 6 years old. And so I went on a journey all over the world, and I was really searching, you know, what is it that I want to do with my life? And I traveled all over the place. I had a 20-year spiritual apprenticeship with a woman in ancient traditions, and I also went to, you know, places like Esalen and Findhorn, and I spent time with the Navajo and Hopi Indian people and just traveled everywhere in India. And then I came home and I suddenly realized that in actual fact, what I wanted to do was actually at home all along, and that was I wanted to help people heal negative things that had happened to them from the past. And I'd had a background where I had abuse from a family friend, and then my father, who I adored, died when I was very young. And I had gone through a process of healing that. And when I looked out on the world, I saw that there were a lot of other people who had experienced, you know, things that weren't easy in their childhood and had a grief and pain. And I realized that what I really wanted to do was to make sense of my own journey by helping other people overcome their issues from the past. And also, I realized that in all of my search, what I was looking for were these three things. I was looking to have fun and to do new, exciting things. I was looking to be creative, and I was looking to help people transform in a way that seemed magical. And once I realized that that was a pattern, and that every time I did those things, that I was happy, and if I could contribute that to the world, then that would really be my purpose. And so once I distilled it down to those things, I was able to apply that to my business, to my writing, to everything that I was doing, and that really allowed me to find my passion and purpose. So that passion and purpose isn't a thing that you do, it's the meaning that you get from the thing that you do, and there's a pattern and a code to that meaning. And for me, the pattern or code is to do new fun things, be creative, and have magical transformations. So that's really how I came to it, and now all of my work is based on those three concepts.
Fantastic. And Pip, when did you start writing?
Well, you know, my dad, he was like a real storyteller, and in the Christmas holidays, he would say to us, you know, give me two words and I'll make up a story for you. And so we would give him different words and, you know, sometimes we'd challenge him. And he would always make up this amazing story at the end of the day, starring my brother and myself. And so he would encourage me to write down my own stories. So ever since I could write, and I was not a very good speller, I was very dyslexic as a child, but I would still write my ideas down and turn them into stories. And so I've been writing since I can remember. And yeah, I'm really encouraged by my father to do that and to make up stories and tell stories. And then in terms of this book that I've written now, I wrote another book on a similar subject, but it was really big and a bit unwieldy. And I thought, look, I can publish that book later. So then I decided that with this book, I would just sit down and find the essence in everything I wanted to say and write something that was smaller, that would be a more of an introduction to my work that people could really sink their teeth into and understand really easily. So I began that process at the beginning of this year. And I finished the writing process quite quickly. It just flowed. Like I was obsessed with it. I didn't even want to sleep. I just want to keep writing and writing and writing. And then, of course, the editing process actually took longer than the writing and the whole process to publication. But, yeah, so at the beginning of this year for this book, and in terms of in my life, probably since I was about 7 or 8 years old.
That is amazing. How you started writing and the influence of your father is just wonderful, that you overcame the challenge of dyslexia. What other challenges have you faced with your writing?
Yeah, well, for me, I love new things. So when I put my ideas down on paper, that's when I'm most excited. But to go back and reread it, to edit it, and as much as, you know, through Vicky and through other people, you know, there's people that you can have to edit your work, you have to still go back over it to check that those edits are what you want to say and, you know, and to rewrite stuff. So for me, the big challenge is rewriting, not the writing itself. I just love the writing process, but rewriting. But, yeah, as a child, I just, you know, I wasn't able to spell very easily and my grammar was not good. And so I had to do a lot of work to do that. And I really think in those cases, it's really about having someone who encourages your ideas, because spelling and grammar can always be fixed, but if you find that your ideas have been squashed, then, you know, that's not nearly as easy to fix. And I think sometimes, you know, people, when we're parents or teachers, we can sort of be attempting to make someone's writing perfect, when in actual fact we need to just let that go and allow people to get their ideas out and then come back and do a polishing process. But, you know, it was interesting because even though I was highly dyslexic as a child, I had this amazing English teacher, and she saw right through all my spelling and the mistakes I made to my ideas, and she really encouraged that. And in the end, my first job was actually an English and drama teacher. So it's just amazing what can happen when people feel supported, understood, and encouraged. And I feel like with my course participants and with my coaching clients, that's the first port of call for people to feel like someone else really understands them and sees them and sees their unique potential and is able to encourage that to be born and to grow. And so that's something that's really stayed with me because of my own experience. And, you know, look, these days my spelling's not that brilliant, but, you know, nowadays we've got spell check and that sort of thing. but I find that because my ideas were encouraged, I'm able to have a flow, which is exciting and creative.
Excellent. Pip, what do you hope readers will take away from your book?
Well, what I want people to understand is that, you know, success and love and happiness, that it has a way that it comes about. It has a, you know, a structure and a strategy, and that we can often feel like we're lost and floundering in the dark, wondering, you know, why can't I have what I want? And sometimes, you know, that's because of things that we've experienced in the past and emotional blocks. And sometimes that's because we just don't know how to get what we want. And one of the things I love about the 8 principles of success, love and happiness, or achievement, love and happiness, is that it allows you to look at these 8 principles and to see, oh, which one of these am I not good at? And one of the principles of achievement is the principle of receptivity. So that's the ability to receive what you want. And the secret that goes with that is vulnerability. And so if we're always trying to control a situation and we're always protective, then there's a certain amount of flow we simply can't receive. And to be able to receive, you know, money, receive, you know, praise and awards, to receive love that someone else wants to give us, you know, those are really key things to us being happy and successful. And, you know, that's one of the principles that I know a lot of people don't have. And, you know, one of the things that I say to people to practice is practice receiving compliments well. Because if you practice receiving compliments well, it means that you're also opening yourself up to go, I am worthy and deserving of receiving other things, such as, you know, money and success and love and happiness. And I remember this story that I actually tell in the book, but it's really relevant to this principle, and that is that I met Elizabeth Taylor's makeup artist in Hawaii when I was doing a course there. And she was a wonderful woman, and I said to her, oh, what was Elizabeth Taylor like? And this woman said, oh, she was really amazing. She was just the most beautiful, wonderful, and beautiful in the soul woman. And she said to me, and I learned a great lesson from her, and I was like, oh, wow, tell me what it is. And she said that she had these makeup brushes, and she saw that Elizabeth Taylor didn't have the best makeup brushes, and so she gave Elizabeth Taylor the best makeup brushes as a gift. And she said the way that Elizabeth Taylor received that gift of the makeup brushes was as if it was the best gift she'd ever received. And, you know, this is a woman who's received some of the most beautiful jewels in the whole of the world. But she said that when Elizabeth Taylor received her gift, she felt like she had done something special, that she was seen, that she was loved, that the intention of the gift was received. And she said it made her feel so good that she thought, oh, wow, what else can I give her? And I thought, wow, you know, how often do people receive a compliment or a gift by saying, oh, you shouldn't have? And then the person who's giving it thinks, well, oh, did I waste my time and effort and energy? Shouldn't I have given you the gift? Rather than going, wow, thank you so much. That's so thoughtful. I'm so grateful. You know, wow, you've put a lot of time and energy and thought into that, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, that's the way that we should be receiving gifts, but it's also the message that we then give to the universe that we are a center of receiving and that we are grateful for what we receive. And when we receive with that grace, you know, we open our heart up and our soul up to receive other things like our passion and purpose and the love that we desire. So I say to people, really think about the way that you receive and allow yourself to open up and have that beautiful feminine vulnerability, whether you're a man or a woman, to really go, yes, yes, I receive.
Yes, I receive. I love that. So, Pip, what impact would you like to see your book have on the world?
Well, I would just love for people to be able to have what they want in their life and to really be able to open their hearts to receive love, whether that's from friendship or from their significant other. So, you know, I see a lot of people be very, very generous to strangers, to you know, their clients, to colleagues at work, and then not display that generosity to the significant, most important people in their life, such as their partner or their family. And I think, you know, this is this center of the home and our intimate relationships, you know, that should be the most valuable relationships to us, and that we should offer that. And then it, at an even deeper level, sometimes I see people who are generous to, you know, those externals and even to their partner and to their children and their family, and they're not giving that generosity to themselves. And I just think being able to be compassionate and understanding and loving of ourselves, I really believe that that is what heals the world. You know, I really think that when people are angry or aggressive towards others, what they're really displaying is a deep, deep lack of self-love and self-respect. And that if that could be healed, I really think that there would be greater peace and understanding on our earth. And I just really believe that starts with ourselves, and then it generates out to our immediate family and friends and loved ones, partners. And, you know, then it can be shared with the rest of the world. And if we all became a center of that love and happiness and, you know, doing what lights us up, realizing that, you know, you can make money from what you love. That was one of the things that my mum said to me. Do what you love and the money will come. If you are creative enough to solve the problems of that. And, you know, that's something that I feel that I've been able to do in my own life. But I do see that other people will often go, oh, you know, I'll be happy when I've worked myself to death to achieve something that doesn't mean anything to me. Then I'll be able to go off and do what I love. But I say to people, you know, look, I get that, you know, we have a living to make, and sometimes, you know, we need to do that job there to bring, you know, pay the bills. But we should be then thinking about what we really do want to do and taking steps every day towards doing what we really want to do and what we love, and that we can make that successful if we're willing to think outside of the box and get the sort of support from others that will assist us along the way. So, you know, I really think that old saying, you know, think globally, act locally, really appeals to the deepest local in us, which is ourselves. So, you know, if we want to think about peace in the world, it's really important that we think, first of all, about ourselves, our own healing, doing the things that we love, and loving ourselves and forgiving ourselves. I just think forgiveness should really start with ourselves. And if we forgive ourselves, often we don't need to forgive anything out there because we're resolved and we're moving on forward with what we love in life. And that's what makes us happy and a center of influence and light for others. So, yeah, so in the end, if people can read the book and, you know, take even just one small step towards that, you know, that would make me just so happy.
Yes, and it will change a lot of lives. Pip, thank you so much for being here with us today. And I just want to remind our listeners that Pip McKay is international best-selling author. Her book is called Principles of Achievement, Love, and Happiness, How to Get What You Want and Enjoy the Process. How do people connect with you, Pip?
Yes, well, obviously, of course, they can go on to Amazon and type in the 8 principles of achievement, love, and happiness, and they'll be able to get the book there. And then they can just come onto my website. My personal website is www.pipmckay.com.au. The AU is the Australian section, but I do think if they just press .com, they'll come to my website anyway. So it's basically my name, and when they come onto that website, there's a lot of information about me. There's lots of videos to watch, and from there they can connect to my Facebook page, to my YouTube channel and Vimeo and all the other wonderful things and resources that are there. And, you know, if they want to connect with me on Facebook, they can just go to my personal page. I think it's called Pip McKay Official or Official Pip McKay, and that way they'll be able to see me. But I think the best thing to do is just simply go to the website, and that will give you a link straight to the right Facebook page and all the other things.
thank you again for joining us today. I want to thank our listeners for listening in to Expert Insights Radio today. And if you would like to discover more about Expert Insights Publishing and our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, go to GETEI.com. That's GETEI.com. Have a wonderful week, and remember what Pip said today, and just think globally. You can act locally, but you need to be global. Have a great week and good evening.